It is so good to be with you. My name again is Pete Hiller, or Peter. I go by both, or hey you, works too. I've been in youth ministry for 35 years, and I do it because I love and am passionate about youth ministry. But I wanted to show a picture of when I was younger, when I actually didn't have gray hair, and my kids were actually in our house and living with us. But they are now all married, and they've moved out, and I have three grandkids. So you got to see those dad jokes, you know, Bible dad jokes. Grandpa dad jokes are even worse. So here's a good grandpa dad joke I heard recently. It's, when does a dad joke become a dad joke? Close. When it becomes apparent. Thank you. Like I said, they get worse as you get older, and it's my prerogative. It's all good. I'm from Family of Christ Lutheran Church. We're just in the north part of the Twin Cities. This is an aerial view of the lake by our church. What does it look like? It does. You see the ham bone there, right? Yeah, that's our claim to fame. We have a lake that looks like a ham. And I serve a fantastic church in Ham Lake. We're kind of a North Metro, so we can come from different communities. I got a few of my youth here today, too. Some of the most amazing youth around. Can you guys wave your hand from Ham Lake, Minnesota, and nearby? So good to have you guys here. It's good to have you here. I hope today you learned something and maybe walk away with something that's useful. Like Tanner Olson, he's got a golden doodle. My golden doodle's not picture worthy, but his name is Rudy. He's really cool. We call him a dog with a big, you know, a little guy with a big heart. I got three grandkids that I could show pictures to you guys later if you want to see them. So definitely. I've been at Family of Christ for 30 years, three decades. Every year, probably except the years we go to the National Youth Gathering, we go on mission trips or servant events. And so service is a big part of what we do at Family of Christ with our youth. This is a couple of years ago. We went to Idaho Servant Adventures. Anybody been to Idaho Servant Adventures? It's phenomenal. So cool. But we get to serve. We stay at a camp and we serve it in the community there. And then we get to do little things like whitewater rafting and rock climbing and stuff like that. So awesome camp. We've been going there, but we've also gone to places like Isleta Lutheran Mission. There's a exhibit in the hall out there where you can learn a little bit about what they do. But we've been building homes with them for a number of years and doing vacation Bible school. And so just some of the ways that our youth have engaged in ministry. It's just been kind of a just part of what we do in youth ministry. So I know a lot of you do serving event and mission trips and just keep doing them because they're powerful events as well. All right. To introduce yourself, you're going to turn to neighbor here in a little bit. Besides being a, you know, dad joke extraordinaire, I've got a superhuman trick. You guys ready for it? I think this could be in the world record, book of world records. I can bend my thumb back like that. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. Special genetics I have. No question, you guys are gifted. I can tell, and in a lot of different ways. So, hey, I want to share with you guys a little bit about some of the amazing things young people do. So, check this out. So, what do the following have in common? Here, just a little quiz. Number one, Louis Braille invents the Braille system. Laura Decker sails solo around the world. Malala Yousafzai wins the Nobel Peace Prize, you know. Nick DeLosio sells an app to Yahoo for $30 million. Austin Gutwine launches Hoops for Hope and raises over $2.5 million for schools in Africa. And the last one is Bjorn Skoqvist becomes mayor of Anoka, Minnesota. I see a hand up here. Already. Almost. Very close. But you would say all young people, right? I added one that was a little older than a teen, and I'll show you a little bit here. So Louis Braille was 15 when he invents the Braille system, which we still use today. Pretty amazing. Laura Decker was 16. She sails solo around the world. I can hardly get across the lake up at our cabin. Malala Yousafzai, she was 17 when she wins the Nobel Peace Prize. Nick DeLosio, if I'm pronouncing these names, I apologize. He was 17. $30 million. That's crazy. Austin Gutwine, he launches Hoop for Hopes and raises $2.5 million for school in Africa. at 17. And this last one's kind of personal to me too, because Bjorn was a member of our youth group years ago, and he became mayor of Anoka, Minnesota at the age of 21, a city of over 20,000 people. And what's even more amazing about it, he was reelected the next term. They loved him that much. He was an amazing young guy. So great story there. All right. So yeah, young people can do amazing things without question. And, you know, I, as a youth minister, I think one of the things we hear all the time, well, the youth are, you know, the church of the future, right? And which is so true. You guys are the church of the future. But I always say, yeah, and they're also the church of today. You guys are doing amazing things already as part of that, as part of the church. So here's a quick key point here. The church is God's team, and he wants everyone on it, no matter your age, story, or background. You guys agree with that? What do you think? Yeah, right? I mean, when you look at scripture, here's Galatians says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male or female. We probably could add on old or young, rich or poor, right? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're part of God's family. This one from Corinthians says, for just as the body is one and has many members, by the way, the illustration of the body here is talking a description of what the church is like. So, you know, you've got a body, right? And all the parts are pretty important. Your hands, your feet, you know, your brain, your heart, all those things help us function, you know, efficiently as a human. And so the Paul is using this illustration of the church being like a body, right? So it says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, old, young, we could add, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So the point is that we are, through our baptism, we are heirs of the kingdom, heirs of Christ, and we belong to his family, the church. And we share in that together. There's no distinction. There's nothing that qualifies you by age or, you know, experience or anything like that. Being a baptized child of God, you're a part of the team and as important as any other member in the church body as well. Whether it's, you know, President Harrison or your pastor, you are as important to the body of Christ as they are too. Okay? Amen? That's what scripture tells me, so tells us. So Ephesians 2:10, I like this. So what is God trying to accomplish through this? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God created you on purpose for a purpose, right? He made you. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't, you know, regret what he does. When he makes promises in his word, we can count on him. And we were created in Christ to do good works, to point other people to Jesus. So you were made on purpose for a purpose, and you belong in God's church. God gave you gifts, passions, and people to help you make a difference and share Jesus. So we're part of this team, the church, and we are all called to, you know, point people to Jesus and bring God's love, forgiveness, and grace to other people as well. I like this here too. So not only are you part of this team that God has created the church, he says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So not only has he created you, he made you with a purpose for a purpose, but he's pretty fond of you. You know, he is, he's your chosen and your priesthood, your royalty, if you will. Yeah. How did that get in there? Does anybody know what that is? Oh, you guys are so smart. It's the blobfish. Yeah, and I don't know if obviously you guys have heard of the blobfish. Blobfish exist in the deepest parts of the ocean, right? They also have the moniker of kind of being the not the prettiest creature in the world. I don't know. I think it looks kind of cute. But they exist in deep, deep ocean parts. Their body is able to kind of, you know, adjust to the deep pressures. But they have a really important role in the ecosystem of the ocean. They clean up all the garbage that lands on the bottom of the ocean and keeps it clean, which probably in the long run makes a big difference for all of us. So imagine if God can do amazing things through the blobfish, what kind of amazing things can he do through you guys who are royalty to him, right? Amen? All right. So 1 Timothy It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Paul's writing to Timothy, who is young, probably not much older than you. He was part of the establishment of the early church and the church that we have today. He was part of that team, and God was working through Timothy. But I'm sure Timothy, like us when we're young, I'm older now, but I know how it is. Sometimes you feel like maybe you don't get the respect and the honor because you're younger and people maybe don't believe in you. And so sometimes that can be discouraging, right? Paul didn't let that become a barrier for Timothy. He encourages him and says, don't let that distract you. Keep focus on your mission, okay? What other people think about you and how they treat you is irrelevant. Stay focused because God will work through you regardless. So same thing with you. We'd like Timothy. God can use us in amazing ways too. And I want to just, this is probably my opinion. The church is better, stronger, and more fun when young people show up and get involved, right? Definitely. I've been doing youth ministry for 35 years, and I want to retire doing this because you guys are way more fun. And I just like to see what God is doing in and through our young generation. I'm so hopeful about our future of our church. But I'm also very excited about what God is doing through you today. So, show up. You make the church better. In fact, in 2017, the Synod did a study about the impact of young people on churches. And you don't have to go through all this. It's just basically what they were learning is that where churches where they have young leaders, whether high school or young adults, involved in significant leadership roles. So not just like going out and pulling weeds from around the church. Okay. But you know, involved in leadership roles that have significance and recognition within the church, there is a higher incidence in a lot of different ways that show great health in a church. One of the things they find out where there are young leaders, there are less people that drop out of confirmation after they're confirmed. There are less people that drop out of church and faith after high school. And they find that there are a lot more people that engage in a church. Young people are attracted to a church that has a lot of young people. That is so healthy for your churches, you guys. Showing up, being there, being part of what's going on in your church, being part of that leadership makes a huge difference, not only for you, making a difference in what you're doing, but it makes a big impact on your church as well. All right? So a lot of times, when I think about the church, this is maybe how I picture them a little bit. The Incredibles, any of you guys Incredible fans? Yes. One of the things I like about the Incredibles is this, how they are family that complement each other, right? They have different gifts and abilities and superhuman powers, and they work together well. And thinking about the Incredibles, this is maybe how I see youth engaging and being part of the church. So first of all, youth leaders are often the least expected, yet they find a way to make it happen, right? And what I love about it, you guys figure out how to do things way different than old people will. I mean, we keep doing things the same thing over and over and again. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? And you guys come in and you have like these fresh eyes and you're able to look at things differently in a new perspective. And you have experiences and talents and training, even technology. I mean, you guys are eons above a lot of us in so many ways. So you can look at things and problem solve things differently. You guys also bring fresh perspectives and creative ideas to your churches. So your creativity to think outside the box again and bring creative ideas. Young leaders bring energy and passion and enthusiasm, right? Watching you guys last night at the Dome and on the way there and back, there's a little bit of energy going on here. Were you guys a little tired this morning when you got up? Yeah, I know. But, you know, if they were all adults, we'd all be taking naps right now. You guys are here and awake. So that's pretty amazing. You guys bring a lot of energy and enthusiasm that helps the churches so much. You're also willing to ask the questions nobody else will ask, right? You know, adults are afraid to ask these things, but you guys, you know, can bring them up. And so those good questions are important to churches. And then they inspire others by their boldness and courage. So like the Incredibles, you know, be willing to take a risk, to work together and impact the world. And so you guys, it's interesting, young people just seem to be more willing to jump into that pool a little bit than adults. And so a lot of these are just a few of the ideas I think in ways that you really bless and honor your churches and your congregations and your communities too. So go Incredibles. All right. And some of you I know might be thinking, well, I don't know that I have anything. I can't sell an app for $30 million or, you know, win a Nobel Peace Prize. And I just gave you those examples as kind of extraordinary things that were done and recognized. But the cool thing is that God doesn't need the big things to do big things, right? God can use the little things to do big things even. And sometimes he does it without our knowing. So take some examples here. Moses, right? Do you guys know he didn't feel really confident as a leader. Do you guys remember why? What was Moses' deal? He stuttered. He had a speech impediment. And so he didn't feel real confident being a leader. But God provides resources and people in his lives. And Moses becomes a great leader and helps lead the people out of Egypt. How about this one here? David, right? Teenager takes on Goliath, becomes king of Israel, one of the most significant kings in Israel. God uses him with a sling and a stone. Small thing, big accomplishment. Mary, the mother of Jesus, teenager, becomes the mother of the Savior of the world. Pretty amazing. I like this one, the boy with the loaves and fishes, right? Takes a few pieces of bread and a few fish and feeds over 5,000 people. God takes little things and makes big things happen. So never discount what you think is small. Never discount any little simple act that you might do. In fact, there's oftentimes domino effects happening behind the scenes that God is allowing through some of the acts that you do that make a bigger impact that you just don't even know. You'll never find out until we're in heaven someday. And so what do you have that you can bring? What kind of loaves and fishes do you feel like you can bring to the table is the question I have for you today. All right. So have you ever done, you know, like got a puzzle out, you know, those 1,000 piece puzzles, for instance, and you start putting it all together. You've been working on it for like a week long and you get all the way done. And then there's one piece missing. You ever do that? Oh, and it drives me crazy because you've been working so hard on it and you're looking all over. You're looking under the couch and in the cushions of the couch. And that piece is just gone. Right. And you just feel kind of, you know, discouraged, dissatisfied. And the image is just incomplete, right? And so we've got all sorts of puzzles like that in our house. And that's why you guys have some puzzle pieces here in a little bit. That puzzle piece matters. And we'll get to it a little bit. So how do you go about discovering your unique role in God's mission? All right. And this is, I'm going to give you a little bit of just some resource for you. Now, at our church, we do a monthly leadership track. We call it Ignite, and we come in for training on apologetics and leadership, and we focus on some of these things. So some of this is pulled from what we do in our Ignite program to help people identify their gifts and abilities and passions and try to get them on a direction where they see where God is have them uniquely fit. So basically what we do in that is, number one, try to consider how God has uniquely gifted you. And so think about that. You know, we can talk about different gifts, abilities, talents that you might have that are unique. My mom used to always tell me, she goes, you know, Pete, there's something you can do that very few people can do in this world. And I always thought, mom's just being, she's just being nice. But I think there's some truth to that, that we have something to contribute, big or small, that we are uniquely gifted. We're different from each other. And then what are you passionate about? And what needs in this world do you feel compelled to change? And some of us have different things. Maybe it's world hunger, or you care about kids or elderly. What is it that tugs at your heart? What are things that are really important to you that you feel need to change in this world? What are things where people are missing out on that keeps them from seeing Jesus? And it can be a variety of things. I'll give you a list here in a little bit. The third thing then is thinking about where you have a voice. So each of us have unique voices, meaning that you have a certain impact in different environments, right? So maybe it's like in school, you have a significant voice there in a club or organization or a sport. Maybe it's at church. Where do you feel like you have a unique place where people will listen to you and hear you? Okay. Or maybe where would you like to develop a voice to be able to do that? And then the fourth thing is that, you know, seeking God's guidance through prayer, talking to him about it, and then seek really good counsel. Find people you can trust, good friends, parents, church leaders, teachers, can give you a good reflection back to you, because they're going to see things in you that you don't even see yourself. Okay. So getting that outside perspective is super helpful. So, maybe it would look like this. So if you were to take those three things, so first of all, it's your gifts and talents, right? Your abilities, looking at what needs and passions are out there in this world that you're passionate, that you want to try to change. And where's your voice? And finding where those intersect in a way that we can call kind of your sweet spot, right? Where those three things come together and you can combine them in a way to make a difference. So yeah, great example of that combination of giftedness, passion, and voice, right? So what was Austin's giftedness, do you think? What are some of the things, abilities that he brought to the table? What did you see? Yeah, he can shoot basketball, which I cannot do, so I couldn't do hoops, right? For hope. But yeah, he could shoot the basketball. What else did he bring to the table? Yeah, his care, compassion, no question, was part of that. Anything else? I'd say he had some, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, determination, yeah. Didn't give up, he endured. There, I was asked to bring that into the topic today. I got it in. So, yeah, endurance, leadership, you know, visionary type person, right? So those are some of the gifts and abilities in shooting baskets are all things that he had gifts. What about, what was he passionate about? What did he care about? What did he want to change in the world? HIV in Africa, lack of schools, providing needs of people in Africa. That would have been his passion, right? And where was his voice? Basketball, right? So his unique connection through basketball, used that as a kind of a starting point, and it grew into even more. So again, kind of those three things coming together. So what I want you guys to do is just to do a little noodling on this. And there's no way you can come up with some kind of game plan, but the process works. And it's something that you can continue to kind of evaluate and think as you go through life. So what I want you to do really quick, here's a list of gifts and abilities. And if you notice at the bottom is others, because it's just not a complete list. I'm trying to just give you some general ideas. What are some things that you're good at? Arts, music, drama, caring for others, encouraging, fixing or building things, working with your hands, you know? Do you like to just share things with people? You know, you give the shirt off your back to somebody. Helping others, leading, organizing, sports or physical activity, writing, storytelling, tech, media, sharing your faith, teaching, and wisdom or knowledge. So wisdom and knowledge, by the way, knowledge is kind of that, what you got up in the noggin here. But wisdom is knowing how to apply it, right? So wisdom is a really important part of knowledge. It's knowing how to utilize the knowledge that you have. So, and then others. So out of that list, what I want you to do is think of, you know, maybe two or three of those things that kind of stand out for you, or another list of ability or gift that you might have. Just either you can jot it down, or better yet, what I want you to do is once you kind of get two or three in mind, I want you to write one of those on the back of your puzzle piece. If you didn't bring a pen or a pencil, totally cool. Just kind of, you know, draw it with your brain on there, all right, in the back of the puzzle piece. Use your laser eyes, superhuman ability. All right, write at least one thing down on the back of the puzzle piece. All right, and then moving on, I'm going to have you write another thing on your puzzle piece, and that's passions. What do you care about? What's important to you? What kind of tugs at your hearts in this world that there are needs? Maybe bringing people together, creating community, fighting injustice or bullying, health, mental health, helping children or younger kids, helping people in need, maybe human trafficking, nature, the environment, sharing your faith, world hunger, clean water, worship and creativity, other. I could probably gone on and on and on. I just threw a few up there. So what do you guys, what is really important to you in this world where there's probably brokenness that you feel compelled or have a heart to change? You know, big or small, doesn't matter. Think of a few of them, jot one of them down on your piece of puzzle. And then the third one is, where do you have a unique voice in this world? Where do you have an opportunity to speak into our world outside of maybe your youth group here, or maybe you have a voice in your youth group, but maybe it's a church, a job, a volunteer spot you have, your school, family, your friend group, and then a neighborhood. Maybe you have a unique voice in your neighborhood. You sell lemonade. You have a lemonade stand and people come there from all over to have your lemonade. Online, social media, sports team, club, or other. So think about that too. Again, jot one of those down on your puzzle, okay? Then what I'd like you to do, and here, for instance, like if I were to do this, I would say one of my gifts and abilities is leading and organizing. I like to take kind of create, you know, structure and create ministries using people and resources. I love working with young people. In fact, I was just a little bit older than you when my youth leader asked me to be a leader in youth ministry. And I thought, I didn't really see it in me back then. And I said, sure. And the Holy Spirit worked through that. All of a sudden I had this new passion to work with young people. And I've had it for over 30 some years now. And so for me, if I were to, the idea is that you take this and how can you combine these? And so how might they come together in some way that you can find that sweet spot? So for me, you know, for instance, it would be like youth ministry. For Austin, it was Hoops for Hope, right? And I'm not expecting you to come up with some sort of connecting point. But what I like you to do is take that puzzle piece that you have and come up here and create the puzzle right up here. It only takes us about 5 hours. No, I'm joking. No, what I want you to do is just take that and put it in your pocket. Keep it as a reminder that you are an important part of the puzzle of God's body, of the body of Christ, the church, and that you play a special role in that as well. All right? And with you missing, it's an incomplete puzzle, right? So see, and when I talk about this, it's not just serving in the church, it's also outside the walls, all right? Real quick, I want to talk about some unique roles that people can have within the body of Christ. And these are roles as church workers. And so some of you, probably in this room someday are, or maybe you're in the process of becoming a professional church worker. Some of you guys might be thinking about it. God used a national youth gathering I went to way back in the late 80s in Washington, D.C., that God, through the Holy Spirit, began to work in my heart as far as being a church worker. But I just want to run through some of those roles that are available. So in our church body, we need a lot of teachers that teach in our different schools. It could be early childhood, elementary, secondary. I think I mentioned all three of my daughters are teachers now. My wife's a teacher in D.C., and all three of them, we kind of got the teacher bug going on. It's been kind of cool. So, but elementary, secondary, college, and then also the DCEs, that's what I'm trained as, a director of Christian education. Last night, Shelly Schwalm, that was one of the hosts of the gathering. She's a DC, but she serves uniquely in a college setting. Some DCs serve in camp settings. DCs are trained to kind of work from birth to death, that we work with all ages and stages, probably a little more commonly as youth ministers, but all over the place as well. I wanted to go into youth ministry, and that was the best direct path for me. Others serve as directors of Christian outreach, so they're organizing strategies for churches to reach out into their community, make an impact in the community around them and in the world. Then there's directors of family life ministry. They engage in helping families be Christ-centered, and then also directors of parish music. They help create music opportunities for congregations, and there again, they can be in schools, churches, and in colleges. And then deaconess. Our speaker last night, she was a deaconess, and they're trained in theology and in care ministries and provide a lot of different types of ministries in the church. And then the last one is pastor. Pastors are leaders. They're called shepherds. I always think of they're kind of that servant. They care and love for a congregation and help to orchestrate ministries through churches. So if you ever feel that there's any little inkling that might be a possibility for you, start talking to people about it. Talk to your parents. Talk to your church leaders, your youth leaders, pastors. They'll also be able to speak into that as well. So anyway, a few last things I want to say, and then I will be here if you guys have any questions or anything too. But discovering your role in God's mission it's a process. Okay, so you're not going to figure it out today. In fact, I bet you adults in this room, how many of you guys are still discovering God's plan and purpose in your life? Right. So it's a process, and I'm still discovering it and learning and growing in that too. So I want to let you just don't think you're going to come up with the grand scheme right away or where God's going to plug you in. I would encourage you to try it out. And then secondly, don't let barriers stop you. Don't let your age stop you from moving forward in that. Be courageous. Don't let, you know, yeah, shoot for your dreams and go for it. Failure is not is part of how you grow. So allow yourself to make mistakes and errors. That's part of growing. And then keep praying, you know, seek God's will and direction. And then you're never doing this alone. So God is always doing the heavy lifting, right? So Austin got wind and didn't do that, raising $2.5 million. God did it through Austin. And so it's super important for us to remember God uses our simple gifts and uses it for his glory. He works through that. So last few things, God uses all people. No age restrictions, right? That's not biblical to say that it's based on age. You are shaped and to fit into his church perfectly. He doesn't make mistakes. Your gifts, passions, and places matter in God's mission. The church is better when you show up. And small things matter. Ordinary is God's favorite starting place. And finally, God's been using unlikely people forever, and he's not stopping with you, okay? So, like I said, probably one of my favorite things about being a youth minister is seeing what God accomplishes through young people. It is such an honor to be able to get that picture. I think a lot of people don't get that window into your lives. And I am just always inspired, and it gives me so much hope. So keep up, keep on, keep making a difference in Christ. Amen. Take that puzzle piece. Keep it as a reminder. You matter. You count. You're important in this church. Any final questions before we wrap up? Can I pray with you real quick? Yes. All right, let's pray. All right. 1, 2, 3. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your church, that you work in and through your people. That, Lord, you take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. Lord, help us to be courageous. Help us to be bold. Help us to experiment and try different things that you've created opportunities for us. Help us to see the windows that we can impact. Help us to see our gifts and abilities and talents, you know, keenly. But Lord, help us put it all together in a plan that you can use to point others towards you. We're so grateful how you love us, and that we don't just get to be bench sitters, but we get to be part of this amazing team, the church. Bless us and keep us today and always. And all God's people said, the devil says, bummer, dude. And we all say, yay, God. All right. All right, guys. Have a good night.